and how people with disabilities are navigating through the COVID-19 pandemic. With me, I have a very special guest today, and I am so excited. I had the opportunity to meet her in 2019 at the Easter Seals Telethon, and we've just connected ever since. She is a parasailing athlete, a motivational speaker, best-selling author, and in 2017, she received the Robert W. Jackson Award, Ontario Premier Award, and the CSASIL Lifetime Achievement Award. Oh, and did I also mention she's inducted into the Canadian Disability Hall of Fame? Ladies and gentlemen, Tracy Schmidt.
Well, thank you, Anthony.
Tracy, also known as Unstoppable Tracy. Good morning. How are you?
I am feeling unstoppable thanks to amazing Anthony in my life.
Oh, and likewise, Tracy, you motivate me every day to continue doing what we do here. And it does take a team like you and I and everybody in this community doing together to help build a more accessible and more inclusive communities. So thank you so much for doing what you do.
We are better together.
Better together, absolutely. So, Tracy, take us back from the beginning. I wanted just to touch base, start off by talking to you about the story as young Tracy, kindergarten. Could you tell our audience about your story there?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think it's very parallel to so many of us facing no, and I don't know how I'm going to get through this phenomenal pandemic. And, you know, my biggest no of my life was in kindergarten. I remember being 5 years old, face to face with the principal, first day of school. I was so excited because my mom had spent all summer saying, oh, I get to go to school today. And I was on cloud nine, and I'm this hyper five-year-old. I know I'm hyper now too, but this hyper five-year-old. And the principal looks at me just with like really big saucer eyes. And he looks at my mom and he just sort of says, I'm sorry. Tracy can't go to this school. And I just told you, and my hair on my arm stood up. I don't know if people can see it in the camera. You know when you have like a car accident or you're like an argument with somebody you love, and every time you think about it, even though it's over, it's like you like time warp back, and then your stomach feels like you're there. You know, just telling you about the principal saying you can't go to this school, my heart just went all over again. And, you know, I know that you and your listeners, everybody's kind of like, what do you mean she can't go to that school? And I thought that my mom was going to be all mama bear too. Like, I thought she was going to be all angry. She wasn't. She just looked at him eye to eye, and she put on the sweetest smile. And she used the nicest voice tone that I'd never heard her use, the sweetest voice tone. And she just said to him with her arms open, she just said, how come? You know, and now I know as an adult in leadership development, she didn't say why. So that would have triggered him, right? When we ask people why, they get defensive. But because she so kindly said, how come? He just replied, he said, I know it seems unusual because it's 1970s and you think by now we would have something, he said, but because Tracy has no hands, you know, she probably can't tie her shoelaces. And because Tracy has no legs, she probably can't go to the bathroom by herself. And in the 70s, I'm afraid we don't have an educational assistant or a support worker or a teacher aide. There's only one teacher in the classroom and there's 35-year-old kids. And so I begin to understand and my mom begins to understand. And she says that to him. She says, oh, I totally understand, right? One kid, 35-year-olds. How is she going to manage a girl with no legs and no hands? But then she counter offers. And she says to the principal, she says, how about you just try for 1 week. She said, would you do this special favor for 1 week so I can find another school more suited for Tracy? And if it doesn't work out, no problem. We'll go to the other school after Friday. And I learned 1,000 years later when I bumped into a grade 5 teacher, the story, and the grade 5 teacher told me that the principal was thinking, well, now they can see for themselves it's not going to work out. So the reason he said, yes, we can try it, was so that I could see the failure. I could see it wouldn't work. And so he said, sure. My mom said, thank you. And we walked around to the side of the school, and my kindergarten class was nearer the playground. And so we're both smiling, mom and I, because I get to go. And then my mom looks out at the playground where all the kids are. Everybody's waiting for the recess bell to go off. And my mom looks at the kids, and then she looks at me. And now my mom has the wide saucer eyes, and she drops to her knees. She did that in front of everybody on her knees. And I'm 5 years old. I have no idea why my mom is on her knees. And she does that parental grip, you know, the five-finger grip where you hold the arms.
Hey, Anthony, like she's very tight.
Yeah,
like
very that. Tight. Yeah. It's hard for me to show with my one finger.
Yeah.
So she does this five-finger grip, and she's holding me, and she's looking me eye to eye, and she says, Tracy, it's really important that you and everybody's included. Nobody left behind, including you. I'm 5 years old. I have no idea why my mom is so intense. I just want to go play. I don't know that if I don't get outside at recess time, I'm not going to be allowed to stay at that school because there's no helpers. So I go to run to the playground, and as I walk away, I look up, and the principal had followed my mom and I around the school. And my principal had seen and heard the whole conversation. He saw my mom on her knees. He saw her looking eye to eye, and he heard her say, nobody left behind. So now when I looked up at the principal, his eyes were all welled up. And now he doesn't want me to leave, right? Now he's motivated to keep me because his heart is in his stomach. So fast forward to recess time, and the principal runs outside to see if I'm on the playground. Because if I'm on the playground, I get to stay. I wasn't there. You know, and he waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but I never made it outside. And so he's thinking, what am I going to tell Tracy's mom? So he runs inside to find the teacher to ask. So couldn't Tracy tie her shoelaces? The teacher's all confused. And the teacher says, Tracy was the first one to tie her shoelaces. Well, then how come Tracy wasn't outside? She said, oh, her little friend couldn't tie her shoelaces. So Tracy gave her a hand. And you know, Anthony, none of the 30 kids could tie their shoelaces.
Wow.
My mom said nobody left behind. So by the time I tied 30 shoelaces, the recess bell had gone off.
And that, yeah, that story. Yeah, I love that story, Tracy. You are such a powerful human being to be able to show what we can do before the perception of what we can't do. And I think that's an important message that you relay in your everyday life and your travels across the world, in proving that we are all unstoppable. But Tracy, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more with Tracy Smith.
This is The Hawk, 101.5 FM, Hamilton's alternative.
So you went out drinking and you did the right thing. You left the car at home. Thank you. But did you know that if you drank a lot and stayed up late, you could still have alcohol in your system the next day and could register a fail on a roadside screening device? It can take up to 12 hours or more from the time of your last drink for your BAC to reach zero. And only time, not sleep, coffee, or a shower sobers you up any faster. A message from Arrive Alive Drive Sober and SmartServe Ontario.
We've all been affected by a bully at one time or another. Whether you were the bully, were being bullied, or were a bystander.
Bullying is not always easy to deal with, and it can impact a child's life greatly. Visit bullyingcanada.ca and find out how you can help all of the children involved in any bullying situation, online or in person.
No matter your child's position, he or she needs your help.
Get the resources you need to help your child by checking out bullyingcanada.ca. Resources, live chat, and watch your child's happiness grow.
Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to help the children of our community? For just over a dollar a day, you can change a child's future. Approximately 25,000 children in Hamilton live in poverty. That's why City Kids is here to help. With various programs, we help over 2,000 kids per week, from gifts for the kids on Christmas, even our amazing Red Bus service, plus so many other great programs to help build our youth's future. With faith, hope, and love, City Kids is transforming lives one child at a time. Visit citykids.ca. That's kids with a Z.
Colon cancer is the number two killer of all cancers. It can affect anyone. But with early detection, the survival rate is estimated at 90%. The key? A simple test you do in your own home.
Hi, I'm Adam Van Cuverden, and I supported my dad throughout his winning battle against colon cancer. Talk with your doctor and get the test. Not knowing is not the answer.
For more information or to donate, visit coloncancercanada.ca. Colon Cancer Canada. We're behind, you're behind.
The Hawk is on the air, broadcasting 24/7 from the top of the Niagara Escarpment.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gap to Accessibility and Inclusion. And we're having a wonderful conversation with Unstoppable Tracy. And she was telling us about her story in kindergarten. And there's more to it, Tracy. So if you want to continue on, please.
And some of us, you know, we're all adults now, and we think, well, how does that apply to us in our adult lives? And even during this horrific pandemic, I mean, everybody's mm-hmm. being impacted, but people with disabilities are being impacted exponentially with lack of programs and services and the struggles of reworking accommodation in whole new ways, upside down overnight, right? And so that no or naysayers or you just don't know, right? And so I learned that day that no, N-O, just means K-N-O-W. They just don't know. And so even now, today, as a full adult, that's how I take no, N-O. I just don't know. They don't know. And I wonder, you know, how come the only student with no hands, male, female, black, white, lesbian, bi, gay, trans, queer, plus, with a disability, without a disability, how come the only student with no hands was the only one required to be able to tie their shoelace? And so there's a lot of standard operating procedures. There's a lot of ways of being that make sense. Like, it made sense to me as a teacher. I grew up to get a Bachelor of Education and teach in Uganda and Mexico and Jamaica and Nepal. I taught all over the world. But it made sense. You know, no hands, no teacher aids. How's she going to help the girl with no arms and no legs with 30 kids? So it was a really great lesson for me that everyone included, everyone, everywhere, right? The Rick Hansen message. Absolutely. And that even if we don't know, even if it's logical, sometimes standard operating procedures or the way we always did it isn't relevant. So I got to learn that day that we are all valuable contributors.
I
didn't know, yeah, I would be the shoelace leader. I just wanted to play the playground, but I was shoelace leader. And then I got to grow up. And last week, I was voted 2021 top inspirational leader by the International Association of Top Professionals. And last year, the Canada Hall of Fame Award, right alongside Wayne Gretzky and Brian Mulroney for Canada in the Hall of Fame for community work. So it's unbelievable. You can go from a shoelace leader, but your listeners are shoelace leaders. You are a shoelace leader. You guys are leading the way, not because you want to be a leader, but just because you are difference makers, right? It's so great. Yeah.
And it's situationally where the attempt here is to empower one another. We all work together toward a collective prosperity. And that has always been the goal of Above and Beyond and the goal of this show and the goal of, you know, to help this community grow in terms of working together. Now, Trixie, you touched on it briefly prior, but going back to the idea of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
I know one of the things, and I can only assume that this is on you as well, but the big thing is about isolation, you know, being in the social circle, because I know you're such a social butterfly going all across the world, sharing your story and your message and how vibrant you are as a person. How has the social isolation aspect impacted you, as well as other variants of COVID-19 impacted you?
You know, there is pros and cons, right? The services decreasing for any kind of support. So I live in a condo by myself 90% of the time in that condo. And so things like groceries or I can't reach my top shelf to open a window so I can be brighter for you today unless somebody drops by. And so my life wasn't really set up for lots of assistance, but there was such a revolving door that if there was something high, whoever popped by would be able to set it up for me. And that every day I would have legs on, prosthetic legs on. And now I have no need to get legs on because we're not going out the door. So I'm always without my legs, which is kind of funny. And, you know, in March, in 2019, I was in 20 countries, physically in 20 countries. And up until March, I was in 20 cities, like UK, US, Canada, 20 cities. And so I wasn't home when the no-fly start got labeled. And on that day, within 24 hours, 24 stages canceled for me as a big international speaker. And it was that way for the summer. It was really slow employment-wise and independent entrepreneur-wise, like most people with disabilities. Out of all of the 11 grounds of discrimination, people with disabilities are the largest group of unemployed. And so many of us are entrepreneurs, shall we say, trying to make it work in another way. And 24 stages canceled. So the summer was really, really quiet. And it was very lonely. And people were very afraid. They were afraid where I might be at a door for a grocery store where people were almost inappropriately wanting to help. Instead of believing I could open the door, people are like clamoring over to, let me get that for you. Oh, I was going to get that for her, rather than, hello, what a nice day, right? Everybody's clamoring to help. But now people stay away and they cross the street because you're a person with a disability and they think, oh, right, 85% of people with COVID have a disability. And so therefore you might be walking infected person, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's nobody around for those odd bits of pieces where if I don't have a companion around, which I don't, they would normally jump in. But on the positive side, so often people say, oh, we can't do this with technology. And now we're making it work with online support. So if having technology isn't one of your roadblocks or obstacles, if you're lucky enough to have a laptop and a mic, for example, then it's not a roadblock. And it proves to be a little bit helpful. And medical services, appointments can be done online. And so there's some workarounds. But transportation was always tough. And now it's even tougher, for sure. So there's pros and cons. And I think we're kind of the last group to be adapted for, in a way. And wouldn't it be interesting, you know, when you think of YouTube and you've got subscription, transcription on a YouTube, and it's because the owner had hearing loss. Well, we all use the transcription. And now in COVID, it's like people that live with their kids and their dogs and the phone ringing, you can't watch a Netflix movie without some background noise, a phone, that's a right. Microwave, a child screaming. So you all use the word pieces so that you can keep up with your movie. Or if you're wearing earphones and your parents say, take that video game off, right? They can read their game. And so we all use it. It's delighting people with new solutions. And so what would be great is imagine if we had come up with COVID protocol for seniors' homes as a test site. And had we done that there, everybody in the world would have benefited. So start with our population instead of end with our population, and you'll get some delightful, mind-blowing solutions that benefit everybody.
Yeah, and speaking to that, Tracy, a lot of what we're talking about here is reactionary rather than being proactive. You know, I've always assumed to want to take a proactive approach, understanding, you know, as a person with a disability myself, our own specific needs and knowing what we require. And oftentimes we're handcuffed by systemic barriers, fundamental barriers, and cultural barriers to allow us to dictate our own needs and allow us to dictate our own way to have our quality of life and our activities of life managed our way. Can you speak to that just briefly?
Well, yeah, I think there's some kind-hearted people out there, and they're really well-intended. And so for speed or efficiency, the belief is speed or efficiency, and they believe they are allies, but they try to be a voice on our behalf. And I think it's an old expression, but nothing about us without us. I think, like, even in this pandemic, you need educated people, not just because you have a disability, but if you're someone that works in the industry who has a disability, have that voice at the table to be speaking our own needs and asking for our own needs, not be an ally, because you're not an ally if you speak on my behalf. You're an ally if you invite me into the room to speak on my own behalf.
Absolutely.
And I think it's important for us as people with disabilities. So, for example, you know, when I climb the Himalayas, right, and I don't have my hands and I don't have my legs and I'm hanging off of this cliff. And I remember the cliff had a projection on it in Thunder Bay when the first time I ever went. And so when my knees, my legs end above my knees, when my stumps left the edge and I was dangling free flow in the air, holding on to the line. And I've had this, oh my goodness, frozen moment. Oh, what am I going to do? Right. And there's nobody left of me, nobody right of me, just like in COVID. What am I going to do? And I'm hanging out here and I'm on a thread and there's nobody around. And then somebody shouted, "Tracy, are you on the ground?" I've forgotten. Somebody was on my lifeline. And I felt all alone and I was out there all alone, but somebody was on my belay line, my safety line. And so sometimes it's up to us to remind people that we need a voice at the table. And it's up to us to shout out, you know, I'm petrified. My knees just left the edge, right? Like, I need to communicate. And it's frustrating. And we wish there were people that could read our minds. But this perspective taking as a solution doesn't work, because as people with disabilities, we are so unique and people cannot put themselves in our shoes. They can only imagine. And so it really is important for all of us to be self-advocates and communicate our needs when we can.
Well, Tracy, we're going to leave the audience thinking on that cliffhanger. and we'll be right back with more with Unstoppable Tracy.
You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Hawk, from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
An irregular heartbeat can mean that your heart is beating too fast or too slow. It can lead to shortness of breath, dizziness, even death. That's why the Heart and Stroke Foundation funded research into the use of devices like the implantable pacemaker that make an irregular heartbeat regular, keeping hearts beating the way they should. This is what happens when you put your heart into it. Learn more at heartandstroke.ca.
If you've signed your organ donor card, we thank you. But did you know that it's still your family that makes the ultimate decision? That's why you have to discuss it with them. So, if you're listening to this right now with someone in your family, look at them and say, "I want to be an organ donor." We'll wait a moment while you do that. There. It's done. Thank you. From the Kidney Foundation of Canada.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
Sullivan's business was doing so well, he had no time to vacation or even recruit an assistant. Community Employment Services at Mohawk College helped by pre-screening candidates, developing training plans, monitoring on-the-job progress, and providing training incentives. Sullivan found a great assistant and more time to spend with the kids.
Call 905-575-2177 or visit Community Employment Services at Mohawk College, Fennel, and Stony Creek campuses. This Employment Ontario service is funded by the Ontario government.
You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Ha, from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
Welcome back to Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gap to Accessibility and Inclusion. And we're continuing this amazing conversation with Unstoppable Tracy. So Tracy, we've only got a couple minutes left, but you know, I wanted to end off our show today by just letting you have the floor and telling us your message and your message to the community and why it's so important that we all work together about everybody everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the shoelace leader. I knew there'd be 30 kids to be a shoelace leader. Who knew it would grow up to John Maxwell, number one female transformational leader in 160 countries. And all of you are shoelace leaders. All of you are unstoppable. You know, all my life, I was kind of proving something, being the first four-way amputee to sail and first four-way amputee to ski and the first four-way amputee to scuba dive and first four-way amputee to skydive and fly airplanes and climb the Himalayas, first four-way amputee to climb the Himalayas and then grow up to be, you know, busting up pilot strikes and supporting Uber into Canada and helping Shoppers Drug Mart with pharmaceutical reform. Had no idea. And I was sort of this mindset of, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, Unstoppable Tracy. But the really big light bulb came for me when I realized the shift was, it's more about unstoppable you. And I don't have to prove anything. And it came from my sailing life. You know, I kept falling out of a boat and I failed my first summer. And I figured out a way how to climb back in. And I went from failing my first summer in sailing to a World Cup sailor. And I sailed for 2012 London trials and the 2016 Rio trials. But I also sailed in World Cup able-bodied regattas with 27 able-bodied men and only 3 women. So I had the Paralympic trials, but also World Cup trials. And I learned the limitless secret, you know, to disarm your limitless secret is 3 things: is exceed uncertainty, embrace possibility, and earn independence. So exceed uncertainty. When you're falling out of your boat, feeling uncertain is no excuse for inaction. Keep trying to climb back in. And embrace possibility, even when you don't know how. Right? I learned to ski on backwards ski boots. But I wasn't going to figure that out on a couch at home. I had to get out there. And you'll find your backwards ski boots, even when you don't know how. You just get started. Exceed uncertainty, embrace possibility, and you earn independence. But you don't earn independence alone, right? I didn't have that lifeline. I wasn't on that cliff alone, right? Who you surround yourself with is who you become, right? I surrounded myself with Anthony and the Hamilton wonderful souls, went to school out your way. And it's wonderful to be speaking to your community here on Cable 14. So the unstoppable you, the limitless secret to disarm your limiting beliefs, exceed uncertainty, embrace possibility, and earn independence.
It's so true, Tracy. Unfortunately, though, time is our enemy. We could go on for a full day talking about all this wonderful stuff. So I'm going to conclude today's show, Tracy, by restating the importance of your quote, restating the importance of what we do as accessibility and inclusion leaders. So Tracy likes to say,